Hi, thanks for coming, everyone. We're in a unique position in Massachusetts to use current and historic data to estimate pollinator populations in Massachusetts cranberry. We use the cranberry system as a model because UMass operates a cranberry research facility in southeastern Massachusetts, and they have long-standing relationships with growers, and growers are concerned about their pollinators. So they're cooperative with our research, and they let us out onto their bogs to do studies. One stumbling block, though, when studying pollinators is the lack of historic baseline data. The National Academy of Sciences issued a report and found that the lack of historic baseline data makes it difficult to conduct pollinator research and compare current data. So our research is interesting because we have access to historic data from a study done by my advisor Ann Averill and Kenna McKenzie in 1995. So to give you a quick rundown of the commercial cranberry system, the plants grow as perennial woody vines in dense mats on wet acidic bogs. They flower from about mid-May to mid-June, which is when cranberry growers bring out rented hives of honeybees to ensure adequate pollination of the cranberry. This is despite the fact that honeybees are not actually the best, most efficient pollinator of cranberry. As you can see in this photo, this honeybee isn't carrying around a very big pollen load on her body. This, as opposed to a honeybee, the tail end of this bumblebee here, she's carrying big loads of pollen in her pollen baskets. Jim Kane and Schiffauer in 2003 did work to show that cranberry flowers that are pollinated by bumblebees they bear significantly larger fruit than when pollinated by honeybees. The best part of this for growers is that bumblebees are a free resource, whereas honeybees have become increasingly expensive and their population somewhat unstable due to the threat of colony collapse disorder. So it seems logical to turn some of our focus, at least, to the study of bumblebees, especially since what little we do know about them over the past few years indicates a decline or at least some major shifts in the populations of certain species. For example, Bombus affinis and Bombus terricola used to be found commonly throughout New England. But over the past 10 years or so, sightings of both these species have become extremely uncommon. So we set out to take a closer look at all of this by employing the same methods used by McKenzie and Averill in 95. And we selected 9 of their original study sites. So this is southeastern Massachusetts and Cape Cod. We selected 9 of the sites scattered throughout the primary cranberry growing region there. And at 3 times during bloom, we collected all bees over a 15-minute period as we walked transects through the bogs. We collected directly into plastic vials because that was the same method used in the previous study. We also recorded all bee visits to 1-meter square observation plots at 6 different locations throughout the bog during 5-minute intervals. So looking at our preliminary results, I'm still identifying bees from this summer, so I haven't calculated final statistics. But if we look at the number of species caught by year, you can see that in 1990, they had 36 species, in 91, 23 species, in 2007, 25 species, in 2008, 21 species, I've estimated. There's a couple of things going on, though, that may skew the way that these results look. The first is that in 1990, the collections were taken off both commercial and natural native wild bogs. And the other 3 years, the collections were taken off only commercial bogs. In 1991, they collected only for 10-minute intervals, and the other 3 years were 15-minute collections. So that may skew the way these results look a little bit. So to take a different angle, different approach at looking at this, I separated out the proportion of families caught. So this is just native bees. And if we compare first just 1990, the historic data, so 1990 to 1991, you can see that the 1990 collection was much more diverse than the 1991 data. So bear with me on these pie charts, they're a little crazy, but the everything in blue is a bombus species, and then the other small native bees are in various colors here, Halictids, for example, in pink. So you can see that the 1990 data, when they collected off the natural bogs, there's much greater diversity, and that's something that Mackenzie discussed in her research. So now if we just focus on the commercial bogs, which is what we are focusing on, you can see that the historic data compared with the current data, there's still some major shifts going on with the native bee families. For example, Bombus impatiens. Sorry, those colors didn't quite come out the same. Bombus impatiens here has expanded its abundance from the historic data to the current data. So because bumblebees are the most efficient pollinator of cranberries, I wanted to focus just on them. So on the left here, I've listed all the bombus species that we've caught on the bogs throughout the years. And to the right, we have the proportion of bumblebee species caught, percent of total bombus caught by year. So if we look at Bombus tericola and Bombus affinis, for example, you can see that in 1990 and 1991, both of those species made up approximately 10% of 10% each of those collections, whereas in 2007 and 2008, those species are not represented in our collections at all. On the other hand, Bombus impatiens, which is a native good pollinator of cranberry, used to comprise about 40% of the collections, and now comprises about 60%. So these are some pretty major shifts going on, given the fact that some other species, for example, Bimaculatus and Perplexus, has stayed remarkably consistent throughout the years. So these trends that we're seeing are not unique to the Massachusetts cranberry system. There's work going, research going on throughout North America. For example, this study by Cola and Packer done on bees in southern Ontario, where they compared Bombus collections from the mid-70s to current data. We're seeing the same results that they just recently published. For example, their Bombus impatiens collection used to be, it made up a good chunk of their collection in the historic data, but now it has increased significantly, just as ours has also shot up. Similarly to the Bombus affinis and Bombus tericola is nearly non-existent in their collections as well. So eventually we hope to connect some of these population fluctuations to causal factors. So we're looking at pesticide use and pesticide application timing. We're also looking at pathogens coming in on rented hives of honeybees and commercially reared bumblebees. Bombus impatiens, the species that has shot up tremendously, is used commercially as a managed bumblebee species. And so we're investigating those issues. And I'm also looking at surrounding land use as a factor of population changing, or as an effect of population change. So you can see in this upper photo, this is one of our study sites right here. This is a cranberry bog. And it's surrounded almost entirely by dense forested landscape, whereas this one on the bottom, this aerial shot here, this is one of our study sites in the center, and it's surrounded by a real mosaic of other agricultural land, suburban development, water, and some patches of forested land. So hopefully, eventually, our data will serve to contribute to the historic bee record in Massachusetts, and that will serve as a springboard for other future research. So with that, I'll say thank you and take questions if there's time. I did. There was huge variation, but it's hard to say. Like I said, I'm still working through the data and still identifying bees. And there's no, there didn't seem to be any simple, you know, anything that just came to mind. Like sites next to highways were had low diversity, and sites out in the woods had high. You know, there was no simple cut and dry answer. Yeah.
Was there any evidence that honeybee pollination might displace more specialists?
I'm looking at that. So that's part of why we collected every single bee for our collection, for the collections. We collected every single bee, and so our collections do. I talked mostly about our native, about the native bees that we caught, but I will be looking at honeybee competition. And some of the growers had rented honeybee hives and some did not, so I'll be looking at that also. Yeah.
Any of the growers purchased the bumblebee pods?
We did have a couple sites with rented bumblebees, so I'll try to work that in as well. Thank you.